Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part three of our three-part interview with Apostle Ken and Pastor Sheila Giles from the Lincoln Bible Church in Houston, Texas. We've been talking these past 3 days now about their ministry called Marriage and Family Ministry. It goes right along with their book and their workbook on prayer, marriage, and the leadership roles of the husband and wife. This is a certification program that you can institute in your church or just in your private ministry. This is so needful in today's society about making sure that each person, the husband and the wife, are together, united by faith in God, and they know the roles that each person is responsible for according to biblical standards. This is such a needful ministry. And if you missed either of the two episodes of the past couple days, you need to go back, listen to them, catch up, because we do not have time to go back and recover everything we've been talking about. But we're going to conclude today's interview. This is awesome. We're going to just kick it right off with how important it is in today's society to have this type of understanding with the roles of the husband and wife in ministry. So we're jumping right back into this interview. And remember that at the end will be all their contact information about how you can get in touch with them and secure these materials and even get certified to do your own counseling. Now let's jump right back into the interview with Apostle Ken and Pastor Sheila Giles.
Good. So okay. How can a couple secure the blessings of God in their marriage?
Well, Proverbs 18 and 22, you know, clearly says that if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and he obtains the favor of the Lord. And one of the things that we focus on in our counseling, which we do that here locally in the community that we serve. We get referrals from the courts and DA's office, sheriff's office, police department, you name it. We get referrals where people are being directed to us, so we have the privilege to counsel them. But the main thing that we communicate is that every person, every male, is not a husband. Right. It's not intended to be a husband, nor is every female a wife and intended to be a wife, because those are very unique and distinct roles that God has given. And everyone either does not have that mindset, nor is everyone committed, if you will, to the buy-in of that encompasses. It's kind of like, I'm pretty sure there's some elite politicians who would love to be president, but they don't want what goes along with it.
Amen. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want it either.
You know, there's a lot of scrutiny and a lot of, I mean, my goodness, I can only imagine. You want to talk about a hot seat. So I'm just saying, not everybody is geared toward that. The majority of individuals, would assess, can be geared toward that, should be geared toward that, and just simply needs to be, you know, informed as relates to the Word of God. But that's what we focus on first. But it says that if a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. And so I elaborated on that and prefaced that statement because he needs to find a wife, not just a woman.
Amen. That's right. There is a difference.
And that wife needs to be someone who understands that biblical role and the concept of that God has created in for the woman of God in her leadership role to undergird a husband, strengthen him, enable him, just as the matter of fact, the word that God used there for helper is the same English word that was used in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit. He tells him It's another comforter. Some translations use the word helper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Amen. For the Holy Spirit. And so that word helper from in the English, you know, coming out of the Greek where it was used in the New Testament means a paraclete, someone who comes alongside and who helps and enables and who strengthens and empowers. And that's a perfect depiction, an excellent depiction of who the woman of God is. And the man of God has to know what he's looking for. And I want to elaborate on that point.
Okay.
If the person does not know, and there are some men, and we found this out through our counseling, through our certification process, there are some men who doesn't, well, the women don't know their role, their leadership role, and or their identity mm-hmm. as a woman of God and as a wife. And there are men who doesn't know that role nor the identity of the woman of God as it relates to her being a wife. And it's kind of like an individual. If you've got a man who is somewhere on the planet in the jungle and doesn't know the light of day concerning civilization, and a plane came by and a suitcase fell out of it with millions upon millions of dollars and burst open when it hit the ground. I mean, and he comes across it because he doesn't know what he has. This man has never seen the light of day of civilization. He's mad that it's in his path and in his way. You know, he's liable to take it and either use it for fire.
As they use it for kindling.
Yeah, throw it in the wood, or maybe think it's bathroom tissue.
Yep.
You know, so the point of it is when a person doesn't know what they have, they don't know how to maximize
the resource.
And what we found out through our counseling is that so many women don't know their identity in the Lord, and so many men don't know it. And so as a result of that, the maximization of the resources is minor and minimum at best.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a person doesn't know what they have, they're destined to either misuse on one end or abuse on the other end. And that's what we find in so many situations throughout the counseling that we've done. And so when that man finds that wife, he obtains the favor of the Lord. Right. And so the favor comes with the marriage. When the man of God has, when he's aligned with God and he's obtained the woman of God who's aligned with God, who's coming along in that role, the favor of God flows with that. Just as with anything in life, when we obey the Lord, the blessings flow. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the blessings that that began with and in marriage, not to mention the family that is produced from that, because Amen. That is what the whole idea of the marriage, that it would produce generations. I think Proverbs 13:22 articulates that a good man will lay up an inheritance for his children and his children's children. Mm-hmm. So the blessings of marriage flow throughout generations, you know, spiritually, financially, economically, you know, in every way, the blessings flow, and it brings about security for the marriage, for the family, and for the generations. In fact, Proverbs 31, verse 10, when Solomon's mother was outlining for him what he needed to look for in a wife, she said that an excellent wife, she was describing, if you will, praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, because she was telling him as a king what he needed in a queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as it relates to the woman of God who was beside him and who was to anchor him in life. And she said, an excellent wife, who can find? And I really like that phraseology, if you will, from Scripture, because the truth of it is that apart from God and the leading of his Holy Spirit, a man is not going to be able to find an excellent wife. That word excellent out of the Hebrew literally translates, the word there is the word kayil, C-H-A-Y-I-L, and it translates strength, army, and wealth. So an excellent wife is strength to her husband. She is an army because she's not only going to be at his side herself, but she's going to produce children. He literally has a standing army when he has a woman of God at his side. And she produces wealth and brings wealth. So when the marriage is what God ordained it to be, the blessings will flow in every regard, in every aspect.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's shift gears here just slightly. How does an effective, successful biblical marriage, how does that impact society?
Okay. Wow, in every way.
Yeah, be a little bit more specific.
I'm going to give you large categories, and then we can get into the in-depth aspects, and I'm going to let Pastor Giles chime in anywhere she wants to.
Okay.
She's signaling me to go ahead. All right. So, first and foremost, the marriage is going to bring about the family. Pastor Tony Evans said years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, at a pastor's conference, he said that when the family is broken, so is the church. If the church is broken, so is the community. If the community is broken, so is the city, county, state, and the nation.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've not found but one situation where I could probably add to what Pastor Evans said and modify and tweak it. And I would probably say that if I had to rephrase that statement, I would add one thing, and that is the marriage, because the marriage exists before the family. Mm. Now, those are two different distinct institutions that one produces the other. So when the marriage is broken, the family is broken.
Yeah.
And when the family is broken, then the church, the county, or the community, county, city, county, state, and nation. And the reason why I emphasize that is because so many times the marriage is just morphed into some spot on the wall within the family setting, when in effect it's the total different institution in and of itself. Matter of fact, it is the first institution that God established, not the church. It is the marriage. And so if that institution isn't given the attention that it deserves, and it's just kind of thrown in and blended in to say, okay, this is the family. No, that institution has certain rules. Like I said, there's leadership roles for the husband and for the wife, and that produces, if you will, or morphs into the next institution, which is that of the family. Mm-hmm. And so from that, we're able to produce a stronger society as a people. When we think about this and that statement concerning societal impact, if one went to the website or did research through the Center for Disease Control, they track families. They're based in Atlanta, Georgia. They track families. And you would say, well, Center for Disease Control, you wouldn't think that at the very heart of it would be family.
Yeah.
Well, what they've learned is that if the instabilities of the family produces disease.
Yeah.
It not only affects the psychological health and physical health, it impacts the economical and financial health and wealth. And literally, they're able to track where there's broken families, there's increase in poverty.
Mm.
Yeah, poverty is accentuated where the marriage has been broken, where the family is broken. Here in the United States, you can pull it up on any website you choose, Google it, track it down. I mean, whatever. Right now, there's a mental health crisis in this nation.
Yeah.
And that's where there's all kind of psychological disorders as a direct result of a breakdown in the marriage institution and in the family.
Yeah, that's right.
It is, God intended that to be a place of strength and stability, and to not only strengthen that institution of marriage and the institution of the family, but also that of the community.
Yeah,
of the
amen.
Community, the city, county, state, and nation. And those, the people of God, and we can look throughout Scripture, when they obeyed God and when they honored God through the laws of God that were outlined, if we go back to the Levitical laws concerning marriage, concerning family, all of those things were there for a reason. It strengthened the nation. It strengthened the people. It made them stronger. When they went against the laws of God and did not honor the word of God, they were weaker as a nation. Their enemies exploited them, ultimately in two different instances. They went into bondage as a people because they left the safety and strength and stability of God and his word.
Yeah, amen. So a lot of the societal problems that we see today in culture, the root cause is simply a lack of biblical understanding about godly marriage. I can't agree more. Isn't it true that spiritual truth and stability is available to families that have God in their marriage? And I'm not talking just about, you know, giving lip service to God, you know, but in the context of what we've been just talking about.
You know, it's, and to answer your question, I would say it starts with what Pastor Giles said earlier. You've got to have, in order to have a Christian marriage, you've got to have Christians in the marriage. And that means it starts
Amen.
With an individual's decision, you know, where an individual, you know, comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ you know, makes him Lord and Savior and submits to the Lord. And doing that,
it starts.
With one individual submitted to the Lord, the nation is stronger. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who quoted Scripture and said that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
And when he quoted the Psalm. So as a people, we have a responsibility and an accountability before God. And just as history has laid out, when we can see it clearly with Israel, when they were with the Lord, you know,
they
were strong.
Yeah.
When they abandoned the Lord, they were weak. Mm-hmm. And the same is true here in the United States of America and any other nation on the planet. And so, but it all begins with the institution of marriage, to answer that your question, and the family that is produced from that marriage. And so it's no wonder that that's the thing that the enemy is attacking.
Yeah.
God says that one thing is marriage. The enemy comes back and says, well, that's not marriage. Anything can be marriage. It can be two men. It can be two women. It could be this. It could be that.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, you don't need marriage at all. Just live together. Shack up. Do all kinds of stuff. Have multiple partners. It's healthy. You know, these folks, I mean, the lies out there are numerous, but once again, there's two voices, God's voice and Satan's voice.
Well, the biblical marriage, they'll transfer to not just spiritual strength, but psychological strength as well, you know, strength of mind and character, right?
That's exactly correct. You know, Matthew 22 and 37 says this. It says that gives what Jesus was speaking to those in the listening audience. He said to them, he said, when they asked him the question, what is the greatest commandment? And he told them, he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And of course, the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But focusing on the first thing that he told them, the greatest commandment of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second that he gave, he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, it's the Bible literally in miniature. Okay.
Amen.
And so what Christ spoke concerning the Bible in miniature focused on one psychological state.
Mama.
Because the heart and the mind, and the soul anchoring that reflects the complete psychological picture or depiction of where a person is. And so when a person has God at the center of their life, has a Christ in their life, then the psychological strength and stability is going to be in that person's life. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen as a nation here in the United States of America, the further we've gotten away from God, the sicker we've become as a yep. nation, psychologically as well as physiologically. And we're also experiencing the very same economically mm-hmm. from the relationship of finance. Right now, we're in more debt than we've ever been in
yep.
before. And those nations that we led before, now they've become the lenders and we're the borrower. Yeah. We owe Red China.
We'll never pay it back.
I don't know how many trillions we probably owe them at this point. But the point is that we've lost our heritage because we went a whoring out from under our God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. What about physical strength? I mean, how does living in a biblical marriage give you physical strength and stability in life?
I really appreciate you asking that as well. You know, 3 John 1 and 2 says it this way. As the prayer is being given, he says, I wish above all things that you, I pray above all respects that you would prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers.
Yeah. Amen.
Soul prosperity affects every aspect of one's being, including ultimately the physical strength of an individual as well as a nation. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, God told Israel that what he was commanding them, that they were to take it to heart. and so when we take to heart, not only from the standpoint of physiologically, but psychologically as well, the word of God, God and his word, then as a result of that, we have the strength that goes along with it. God told them from verses 6 through 11 in that 6th chapter that that would be the thing that would sustain them in the land that he had given them, in the promised land.
Yeah.
And so it all begins with God and his word.
Amen. Amen. You know, many people look at church as just a place to go 1 hour on Sunday to check in, just to let God know that, you know, I'm still intending to get to heaven one day. But church is a lot more than that. What are some of the roles that a church fills in the community?
That's a good question. The church, you know, the scripture says that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. And if the church isn't the church, then people can easily be hoodwinked, to use old word. Yeah, bamboozled. Hey, there you go. People can easily be deceived by the enemy as to what, you know, truth is. Truth is certainty. It is that which is not movable. God says in his word, he says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, and from it not one jot nor one tittle shall be removed. And that is because that's what truth is.
Right.
It is stabilizing force of a person's life, of a marriage, of a family, of generations, of a community, city, county, state, nation, or world. And so when truth is lost, then society is lost.
Yeah.
And so the church has that main purpose, to function as the pillar and the support of truth. And so when the church starts allowing the world, if you will, to redefine truth and turn it into a lie, if you will, then basically what the church becomes is just a place of ceremony instead of a place of celebrating the institution of marriage and family, of upholding God's standard and being a place that provides a culture for the healthy growth and development of marriage and family. In other words, church ought to be more than just a place to hold a marriage ceremony.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Or to come to have lunch on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Apostle Ken, Pastor Sheila, we're all out of time. I appreciate you taking the time to join with us today and just catch us all up on what's going on down there in the great state of Texas. I'm hoping to come down there this fall, and if everything works out, we need to hook up for a pot of coffee when I do. Amen?
Well, I think we'll do better than that. Make it down here. Let us know. Give us an idea calendar-wise when you're going to be here. And whatever you're down here for, you'll be on for dinner and engagement as well. We're looking forward to hearing from you and letting the Lord have his way.
Glory to God. Amen. I appreciate that. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or get in touch with you about, you know, your certification program or, you know, maybe to have you do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Yes, they can contact us at info@lbchouston.org. That is interviews. If they're interested in the counseling certification, the online Christian marriage counseling certification.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our website, marriageandfamilyministry.org, for more information on what we're doing. And also, we have a telephone number, 832-248-0768.
Give that number one more time.
832-248-0768.
Amen. And I'll put all this in the show notes down below so they can, it's readily available for them. Your book, is it available on Amazon or just through your website?
It's available on Amazon.com, and they can obtain it at marriageandfamilyministry.org.
Amen. Amen. I'll put all the links to that in the show notes as well. Folks, you got schooled today. Amen. I highly encourage you to reach out to Apostle Ken and Pastor Sheila. I mean, if you are in the ministry and you are called to minister to couples and to help them strengthen their marriages, I definitely recommend you get in touch with them. Ask some questions. Check out their certification training. You know, begin to take back what the devil has tried to steal, which is biblical marriages. Amen. Yeah, I just thank you again for coming on the program and taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you guys are busy, and I do appreciate you coming on the program today. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you so very much. We're honored and privileged. And my brother, I know we've emailed back and forth, but I just want to tell you right now, my brother, you're loved in the Lord. Be encouraged, be strengthened, be blessed in Christ Jesus, and may he use you mightily. Throughout days and your generations. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I appreciate that so much. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Go to their website, look around, sign up, order their books. The links to the website is in the show notes below. Again, for Pastor Ken and or Apostle Ken and Pastor Sheila, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters. Your voice, your platform, your success.